Welcome to the Bits. This is Quinn.
This is Claire, and we're down a Paulina today because baby Clark is sucking all of her energy. So we have the one and only Tara McCarthy from CBC Edmonton AM. I'm a huge fan. I've been listening for well over a decade and have just been so excited to have Tara take over as the primo Edmonton AM host. So
the big dog.
The big dog. And Tara, you grew up in Toronto with the Jays in your backyard. Is that right?
I sure did. I grew up in Mississauga, Ontario. So I was a stone's throw from all the action.
Amazing.
And we were a baseball family growing up. I have two older brothers. They both played baseball. I'm talking summers where, you know, if we weren't going to one of their games, we had the radio on in the garage or we were watching the Jays game on TV. I remember very vaguely because I was super little, but before the Jays even changed over to the Sky Dome in the late 80s, my grandfather, my mom's dad, Roy Scheneman, took me to a game at Exhibition Stadium when the Jays used to play there. Like, it was ingrained in our family. My mom and dad went to one of the first games that were ever played at the Sky Dome. My mom got clocked with a Domer puppet, which was like, they had this mascot called Domer and he was a turtle. And I had that turtle puppet for years to come. It was synonymous with our family. We love the Jays.
That's so awesome. And thank you so much for being here. We are so, so happy to have you. I honestly can't relate. And so I think it's so cool to have like a real Jays fan. For those of us who are listening and you haven't seen a clip of this episode, we're all wearing our Jays hats. And we didn't even plan it. We're all so excited. Post game one of the World Series. What Canadian isn't cheering for the Jays right now? And I will admit, I am not a hardcore baseball fan, let alone Jays fan. Always try and catch a Jays game when I'm in Toronto. But I mean, this is incredible. And it's, I'm not used to being the bandwagoner, but here we are.
Yeah. So just to give a little bit of history, we kind of have like a little bit of everybody. So we have the diehard in Tara.
Yeah.
I have always, 1992, 93, those two World Series, I remember them like they were yesterday. They are very much core memories for me. 11, 12 years old at that time. I even had a hamster that I named BJ for the Blue Jays. Sure, my parents were like, okay.
Between BJ and Domer, I'm not really sure about
BJ. That hamster actually didn't last very long. He was kind of an asshole, but but I can't say that my love and passion hasn't waned over the years. I will always pay attention to the Jays. I've been watching the season. I've kind of known the story of the Jays this year, but certainly not in depth. And then Claire.
Ground zero.
Yeah.
Ground zero.
Yeah.
I mean, I like baseball. I played baseball growing up, played slow pitch as an adult. My son plays baseball. They're so long. Maybe it's my attention span, but as Quinn has pointed out in our conversations, there's so much strategy there, which is how I got more into NFL. So here's my opportunity to dig in. And I'm sure many others. So we kind of wanted to have an episode where, you know, for the casual sports fan, what do you need to know about the Jays so you can take a little bit with you to each game, each conversation? And it's an incredible story this season, right? Like they were not doing well, as far as I know. And I actually remember that. I mean, you can't be a sports fan without ever hearing about the Jays. So I remember hearing, weren't they in last place at one point in the season?
Last year they finished in last place.
Oh. Like what a climb.
AL East. Yeah. So it was a huge climb and they just put it together. They've been a fun team for a number of seasons, with a lot of the guys that we're seeing on this World Series team right now. Like I'm talking, like you see them with the secret handshakes in the dugout,
You
know, you see the home run jacket that they wear. They've got a new postseason home run jacket that they're sporting for all the home runs they're hitting now. And it's really, they've been this fun team, but they've just kind of struggled to gel in some ways. They've had these heavy hitters like, you know, Vladdy and Bo Bichette, who's now back for this World Series run against the Dodgers. But yeah, it's been a bit of a struggle for them to totally come on top. And then this season, they did it. Their defense, their offense, their pitching, it was all just coming together. And I mean, the way that they've been sweeping some of the other best teams in the league, it's just been incredible.
Oh, it's so cool. And what they haven't done this. They haven't been in a World Series for over a decade. Is that right?
Yeah, the last time they even made a real college try to get there was in 2015, and that's when we had the Bautista bat flip, that became
Right.
so famous. And now they're into the World Series, and this hasn't happened, since, well, like Quinn was saying, 92,
92.
when they
Yeah,
won that
wow.
first one and then won it again in 93.
It's
Yeah, the
so.
back-to-back.
They're the underdog here too, which is pretty cool.
Oh, big time. The
Yeah.
Dodgers are so good.
And just for
The
some,
Dodgers
yeah.
like disposed of the Milwaukee Brewers, who were a very good baseball team. They almost swept the Jays recently in August. The Jays got one in that series, and they made them look like a little league team pretty much.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
So
they've got the
the
best.
Dodgers are very good.
They have the best baseball player in the world on their team too, do they not?
Yeah, Shohei Ohtani is just incredible. I mean, not only is he a phenomenal pitcher, but he can also play offense like nobody's business. It's
Right.
just,
Yeah.
it's madness. Last season, in the 2024 season, he had a 50-50, which means he had 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases. And then he's also
As a
this
pitcher.
blowout pitcher.
It's
He's
amazing.
honestly, it's like he's robotic. But what I love too is you're already seeing it for those that watch game one. You're seeing kind of like how much he must just love the sport, because even when there was a bit of a challenge toward the end of the game, the Toronto Blue Jays wanted to see if maybe Vladdy did get him out at first when he was kind of hustling back to the base. The two of them are laughing, you know what I mean? And at that point, it was pretty much out of sight. Like the score was saying that the Blue Jays were going to win it, and he's still managing to laugh. Like you can just tell it's a guy who loves baseball through and through. No matter what the score is, he's just happy to be playing the game. At least that's the vibe I get from him.
Okay, I have to talk about this pitcher who struck him out for the Jays. So
Treya Savage, his seventh major league start.
seventh major,
Seventh.
okay, but this is staggering. He makes $57,000 a year.
Yeah. Not for
And
long, but yeah.
oh yes, and
Not
Ohtani makes
long.
47 million a year. That's 824 times his salary, and he did it wearing New Balance Ohtani shoes.
Yes.
That is insane. That you can't write that. That is so good. That is
Yeah,
so
and
good.
he's 22 years old. I'm pretty sure he's the youngest player in the World Series right now between Toronto and LA.
Okay, there's so many good storylines here. Talk about that Grand Slam.
Oh, as I like to call it, the Barger banger.
The Barger
It
banger. I
was
like that.
phenomenal. He's the first pinch hitter in World Series history to get a Grand Slam. Like, that is bonkers.
And a
And
pinch
actually, it's
hitter is someone who is not in the starting lineup.
exactly, not in the starting lineup, comes in later. And so it's been really funny, actually, in my household, because my partner, Ken, he's actually never really been into baseball. He's a guy who grew up in Sherwood Park, so he's loved hockey, loves the Oilers. And then it was a couple months ago, he's like, "Hey, girl, like these Blue Jays are killing it." And so we started watching the games, and then we just started watching them together. We've watched the whole postseason run. And he was like, back when they were playing the Yankees, he's like, "What's this Barger guy? What's his deal? He's not doing anything for me." So we started kind of calling him out just on the screen, like asking Barger to do a little bit more for him. Suddenly starts hitting homers. So my partner Ken is taking full accountability for what's going on here. But
Yeah.
last night, when he hit this grand slam, it was just phenomenal. Like, this is a younger guy. I'm not even sure. I think this, if it's not his first season, it's maybe his second with the Jays. Like, he hasn't been with the team for all that long, but don't quote me on that. But it's just the way he's gelling with the team, the way he's showing up when they need him to, and just that grand slam. I feel like it was heard around the world or something.
Oh yeah. Quinn called it a grand salami, which I'd never heard of, and I love that.
That's a classic baseball announcer line. Grand salami. Yeah.
I think
And
he's
then
a rookie, is he not?
I'm
Yeah.
pretty sure
Yeah, I think he
we're
might be
showing our
a he's a he, that's okay. He's a left-handed hitter, which is kind of cool 'cause that's also not super common. But yeah, that was something to see him come off the bench and just hit a dinger like that. Like I just
also
can't
like
imagine.
You're not expecting it necessarily from Barger. Like, you're expecting it from Vladdy, or you're expecting it from like Bo Bichette coming back in
Or
from game
George
one of the World
Springer.
Series, or George Springer, right? Who's done
Yeah.
it, or even Kirk. Like, Kirk on and off has been hitting some homers, and he did in the postseason. But yeah, Barger hasn't necessarily shown that. Bases loaded, you know, like you're thinking he has an opportunity here. They made a pitching change, so he's waiting a little bit before he goes up to bat. And it was just the way it all connected was just awesome, because really, Barger's had a little bit of up and down through the postseason. Like, he made a couple errors a number of games ago, and so it's great because their team goes so deep. It's not just relying on some of those star players, you know. It's not just relying on the names that you know, like Jimenez, who's like bottom of the batting lineup usually. He started throwing some dingers out too recently, like in against Seattle and stuff like that. So everyone's kind of doing their own part, and I think that's what's making this team like a monster that people aren't necessarily expecting sometimes.
It
People
sounds
were
like
talking
all
about Dodgers sweep, right? I don't know
right.
what's going to go that way.
It's like all these managerial admin bets paid off is what it sounds like. Everything's just kind of clicking at the right time.
So just to dive in a little bit just on baseball in general, since we are talking about the casual fans. So there has been a study done just to give you an idea of how hard it is. I think sometimes baseball doesn't get the respect that it entirely deserves. But just to give you an idea, hitting a major league fastball is the hardest thing to do in sport. Period.
I always, when I
All
was
of
watching the
sport.
game, that first World Series game, I'm like, why did they throw it down the middle? That feels like a bad idea. I feel
Well,
like they could
because
hit those ones.
I mean, those are mistakes, right? But because
Right.
there's often so much movement, but then also if you throw it really hard, it's very hard to hit
Yeah.
a major league fastball. Like we're talking about like 100 plus kilometers an hour coming at you in a tiny little space.
Yeah,
Like, there's
that's
a lot
pretty
of trust
amazing.
in just standing in the batter's box. There's no doubt about that. So just to give people an idea, and then another thing that I also like, a tip, and Tara, I'm sure you'll agree with me, Buck Martinez, we are so very lucky to have him as an analyst. And my dad says it all the time too. I always learn something new when I listen to Buck Martinez. You know, so if you are watching the games and you're having a hard time kind of, understanding, or just, you want like just a little bit more about what's happening, listen to Buck Martinez, because he will definitely teach you a lot about the game.
That's a good
And
sound.
he's been such an advocate for this lineup, this Jays lineup. Like, he's talked about how they're just incredibly patient. They don't chase pitches. And the Dodgers pitching staff is very good, and they managed to just kind of break them down. They just found their spots, which is also a difficult thing to do.
Well, what's really cool about Buck as well is that he played ball for a long time. He played with the Jays. He was a catcher with the Jays, and he ended his career in the 80s. I think he started commentating for the Blue Jays in like 87 or something like that. So he's been with the Jays in different capacities, like TSN, moving over to ESPN Radio, like all sorts of things over the years. He has such a knowledge of this team, how this team has transformed and changed through different like general managers and coaches and players. But Buck was also like a monster player himself. I don't know if either of you have spotted it over the last little while, but leading up to this postseason, there was actually this clip of Buck Martinez when he was a catcher for the Jays, where he got bowled over by someone at home plate when they were coming in to score. And if I'm not mistaken, it was the Seattle Mariners that they were playing, which is kind of a whole serendipitous thing. But he actually broke his leg and his ankle on that play, still managed to throw the ball and get a second batter at like a second runner out. And it was this insane play. If you watch it from the archives, it's nuts. So he was a monster player himself. And there's something about, I think, when we see, like when you think about hockey too, and you see like Mark Messier and like people like that that are also doing commentary. I don't know, you connect with the sport in a different way when it's someone that just knows it so intimately and has been on that field and been through those moments. Plus, like the way the man says hot dag just blows my mind
In
every
my
time.
mind,
In
in
my
my
mind, like,
mind.
oh, he's just the greatest thing ever. Yeah. And I got to give some love to our girl, Hazel May.
Yeah.
as well on the Sportsnet broadcast. Like she's been doing the like on-field reporting for a long time now, and she's so smart about the game. I love the way that she interacts with the players. She's like stealth and dodging the Gatorade dump when that
I
happens,
love it.
because when they're celebratory and they dump the
Yeah.
Gatorade on one of the players, like, 'cause she's always talking to whoever was kind of like the player of the game. But Hazel's just been slaying it. And I love seeing a Filipino Canadian woman on the broadcast. And so I always got to give some love to Hazel May too.
That's so cool.
Absolutely. So yes, when you're watching the games, those are some things to watch for as well and be proud of. And congratulations to Sportsnet. You've won the lottery.
Totally.
By still getting to broadcast, because usually it goes to like a nat like a solo broadcast, but you get
Yeah,
your
it
own.
becomes just one in North
Yeah.
America. You're right. And I love that we still get to hear like Buck on the broadcast, because I don't know if either of you have tuned into games where maybe it is on Fox or something like that. And it's no slight to their commentators, but when you just get used to who you get used to.
Oh.
I mean, Oilers fans even went through this too, right? When they change up the voices as you get deeper into the playoffs, suddenly you're just like, I can't connect the same
I
way. Like
know.
I need that Jack Michaels voice or whoever it
Yes.
is, because it's just what you know. And you
Yeah.
love what you know.
Okay, so I want to talk about Vlad. So Vladdy Guerrero Jr. Can you what did you ever see his dad? Like, there's this whole storyline about his father, how he was a big player in his day. He's very like authentically emotional about his son playing, and he posted this message when they first made it to the World Series, like after that champ game, and then another he wrote to him this beautiful letter before game one of the World Series. There's just like this beautiful and Canadian story because he played for the Expos back in the day, and Vlad was actually born in Montreal, and he's a diehard Jays. Like, he's what we want Connor McDavid to continue to be. Like, he just signed a 15, what was it, 15-year extension, contract
Yeah,
extension with
500
no out
mil.
clause, no
Yeah.
out clause. Like, he wants to play there. So let's talk about him a little bit and that connection with his dad. They all look so comfortable, I guess, is what that you kind of got me going on this thought was, they all look so comfortable before the game. They're like bopping and they just seem really, they don't look overly stressed. And I think it's this kind of stuff, this like connection to everything that's going on around them and how hard it was to get there. And they're just really comfortable in it.
Well, Vladdy just seems to have these deep connections with, I think, all of his teammates. From like I was saying before, from the handshakes you see like after home runs, he has like one-on-one handshakes with, I feel like, everybody on their entire roster. Even at the end of game one, like seeing him and Kirk like hugging and jumping up and down. Alejandro Kirk, by the way, the first Mexican-born player in the MLB to hit a home run in the World Series, which was
How cool
pretty
is
sweet in
that?
game one too. So that's awesome. There's all these little stories emerging. But yeah,
Totally.
you're quite right, Claire, that when Vladimir Guerrero Jr. started in the MLB, Major League Baseball, in 2019, and he made his debut, his dad wrote this beautiful letter, and it's read out to him in Spanish in this video that's circulating. Like, go find it, grab a Kleenex, watch it. Because it's lovely. It talks about how, even though obviously he had an impression on his son being Vladimir Guerrero Sr., that he's made it his own game. Like, it's not about, it's not about him having anything to do with his dad. It's about being his own person and how he saw this greatness in him from day one, as soon as he was born. And also, do yourself a favor and Google a picture of little baby Vladdy. And I think it was in like 2002 or something like that, where he's standing in a full Expos, jersey and pants and the hat. And he's got the hat like on his chest. And he looks so cute. And you
Oh.
can just see that this kid is primed to be in the MLB himself. And so now it's like this great, like perfect journey to see him now in the World Series. And Vladdy's also just like such a character, like when he does interviews, he's so sweet and he has these great one-liners. And, he was joking with one of the US broadcasters because they were always talking about the Yankees. And then when the Yankees lost, this whole thing went viral where Vladdy was like, "The Yankees lose." And it was just like, he's so fun and he just makes the game fun and so great to watch.
Oh,
That
that's
was
awesome.
amazing when he did it to Big Poppy, who obviously
Exactly.
famously played for the Boston Red Sox. And of course, there's just the big Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees rivalry. It always will be. And so he started laughing, and then Alex Rodriguez, who played for the Yankees, was just kind of sitting there like, oh, I took that one in the chin. That was a great moment on the broadcast. So also a little history lesson. The AL East is number one, an incredibly difficult, notoriously very difficult division in Major League Baseball. It has the New York Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Baltimore Orioles, as well as the Toronto Blue Jays. So, and the Yankees are notoriously always good. The Boston Red Sox, are often hanging around. So it's really hard alone to come out of that division and to make the playoffs. And the Jays finished at the top of the AL East this year. So that goes to show you how good of a team they are. And it also tells you why Toronto fans hate the Yankees. Some people don't understand that. And the New York Yankees logo is just so famous. I was just in Europe and there was so many people wearing Yankees hats, and I wanted to be like, hey, tough luck against the Jays, hey. And I bet 1% of them would have actually known what that was about. So there's just so much. I hate the Yankees. And I'm not even like the world's biggest Jays fan, but I absolutely hate the Yankees. So that's a little history there too. So that's why he did that. And that's why it landed so well.
Oh, that's good.
Well, and also when Vladdy, was up for re-signing either with the Jays or going to another team, like he did not mince his words when he said, like, there's no way I'll go to the Yankees. He does
Ha.
not want to go to the Yankees. He hates the Yankees himself. And so that's when he had that interaction with Big Poppy. It was even like layered in a lot of ways, when he's yelling, the Yankees lose, and he's getting doused with champagne, and it was just, it was a whole moment.
Well, speaking of playing for different teams, Ohtani had a chance of playing for Toronto, right? And there was a moment in game one where the fans broke out in a chant, "We don't need you." When he was up to bat, it was incredible. I don't know if you noticed it, but I was like, "What's the story there?" And I didn't even know that he almost went to Toronto at one point, or they really wanted him. I'm sure, Tara, you probably know more than I do.
Well, yeah.
I'm sorry, yeah.
I'm with you, Quinn, because I feel like you're going to say, I don't know. I don't know how much of it was make believe and just hopes and dreams,
Right.
but there was talk. Like, Quinn, you take it.
Yeah, so like that whole storyline was like they were watching his jet to see where he was flying to go with meet with teams. Like it was the biggest story in Major League Baseball. And so like there was like kind of this like chatter that he did go to Toronto or was going to Toronto
I see.
and was going to meet with the team. I mean, when you think about it though, like that is the silliest thing in the world, considering like he was always going to stay in the National League. So the difference between the American League and the National League, so that's kind of like the Eastern and Western Conference in the NHL. The National League, the pitchers hit. Whereas in the American League, they have an automatic pinch hitter that hits for the pitchers. And because of Ohtani's ability to bat, I don't know why he would have left the National League. He's nowhere near as like needed and efficient in the American League, right? So I feel like he was probably always going to stay in the National League, and I don't know why he would have left the Dodgers. But yeah, there was like it was like Ohtani watch, like people watching Jets.
Oh, I
Like
believe
a
it. I
pack
mean,
of jets,
look at even just when Connor McDavid was going around unsigned and going to Toronto and having dinner with Austin Matthews over the summer. We were all on, walking on eggshells. So I can only imagine an even bigger context, I guess. But yeah,
I heard.
that was funny.
When I was speaking with our sports reporter, Scott Reger, on CBC Radio the other day, he was saying how there's all these thoughts too that John Schneider, who is the coach of the Toronto Blue Jays, that he had sent some things over to Ohtani, including something like an outfit for his dog or something that was Toronto Blue Jays back when they were trying to court him, and get him to come to the team. Because I mean, it would have been a big coup even if he wasn't batting. Like, just to have him on the pitching roster alone would have been amazing. But anyways, something about how he wants that stuff back. And there's all these like little, these little
Give me my
stories where you
stuff
wonder how
back.
much is in. Exactly, we want our stuff back, by the
That's
way. Can
funny.
you just Yeah. curator that back
Your
to us.
dog doesn't get to wear Blue Jays gear.
Exactly. Or put your dog in Blue Jays gear so your dog can cheer for us.
Yeah, exactly. And then I think another big storyline is obviously Bo Bichette. For those, just tuning in, he has been such a big part of this roster. He's got a big bat. He can play defense. Like even in game one, he played at second base, which he hasn't played since he was in Triple A, and he made great defensive plays. But Tara, like, give us an idea of, he was out for a long time.
Yeah, so he's had a knee injury for quite some time. And actually, I think part of the reason why they put him on second base, the speculation is because he's just coming off of the injury list. And so he usually plays shortstop. Shortstop, if you know the game, like that's
Terrifying.
basically
Very athletic.
you're putting yourself in between two bases, like usually second and third, but you might even move over a little bit toward second and first. So you're moving a lot. That's a lot of back and forth. Sometimes you're even supporting the outfield. So when you're coming off of a knee injury, you're not going to want to make that kind of movement. So putting him at second base, the idea was that then he could be a little bit more stationary. It's a good way to get him back into the game. It was nice to see him batting again because Bo Bichette, like, he's a strong batter. A lot of people also make this same kind of comparison of, you got your McDavid and Draisaitl. They make that comparison with Guerrero Jr. and Bichette because they're really tight friends. That's been something they've been on the Jays team together for like a number of seasons. And so they've really built a friendship and kind of been, in some ways, a lot of people feel like the backbone of the team. So not having Bichette through the entire postseason especially has been hard. It was great to see him back. And like he didn't necessarily, he wasn't knocking it out of the park in game one, but I still like he was still making plays.
Is a
And again,
factor.
defensively, like Quinn said, yeah, he was a factor and it was nice to see him back on the field. He is also coming up as a free agent. So whether he stays with Toronto, we don't know. I mean, I really do believe that if they continue to do well, even if they just don't take the World Series, I think even to be in at this point in the MLB where you're one of the two top teams in the entire league, I think that bodes well that he will hopefully sign with Toronto and stay because I'd hate to see him go.
That bodes well.
Bodes
But
well. Yes. Bodes baseball. You know what I mean?
okay,
All right. So,
I'm
oh
so
yeah.
excited. I'm so excited for game two. Just all of this conversation has me even more excited. But Tara, before we go, I wanted to quickly ask you if you had like you mentioned getting your I think it was your grandma that got hit with a stuffy,
My
your
mom got hit
mom,
with
sorry, your
a solar
mom.
plummet.
What's your first, is that your first Sky Dome memory? Or what's your first like Blue Jays core mem?
Oh, my first Blue Jays core mem. I think the one that just comes back time and time again is hearing the radio on in the garage and just like the Blue Jays winning. I mean, obviously too, like when they won the World Series in 1992,
Catch
when
'em
Joe
all,
Carter caught,
Joe.
yeah, when Joe caught that, well, that was
That
93, but
was 93, right?
when he, and so they, there was the famous line, touch 'em all, Joe. They wanted him to touch all the bases, but Joe Carter, who was throwing out the first pitch in game two, just so everyone knows as well, something
Cool.
to watch, is he also caught the ball at first base to win them the game in 1992 to win the World Series. So he was instrumental in both of the plays that won them the World Series back to back in the 90s. I just remember seeing that on TV. I remember my whole family jumping up and down, in the basement as we were watching it. That's really a core memory, but I have to say two tiny stories that are just really heartfelt because we're hearing so many heartfelt stories around the Jays is that I was pretty little when they won in 1992. And my grandfather, my mom's dad, was a huge Blue Jays fan. And unfortunately, he died 1 month before they won the World Series. And then there's something that's kind of like echoing that for me right now. One of my dearest friends from Mississauga, Ontario, Anona Chatterjee, she and her dad watched the games all the time. They went to the games all the time because she lived in Toronto and remained in Toronto for years. He just passed in February. And so she feels like they're doing this for Baba.
Oh.
And it's just like those stories are just all over the place. You hear about people and their connections, their family connections to the Blue Jays. They're going to the games, they're thinking about the people they've lost. And then, you bring it back to like the Vladimir Guerrero Sr. and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and that storyline, and how there's just like this familial connection to it all. And I just love it. You know, it makes me kind of tear up, and it makes me realize this is totally Canada's team in so many different ways.
Oh yeah, your love for it is infectious. All of you
Yeah.
Jays
And
fans.
I think that, like, kind of that is a big part of baseball because it is such a slog. For those who don't know, it's a 162 game regular season.
It's insane, yeah.
And then we get into playoffs, which is crazy. So as we wrap this up, I know you want to welcome everybody to the bandwagon. What are your top 2 to 3 things you want people to know, to take away, you know, just kind of about the Jays, and maybe a little tip on like how to stay a Jays fan, knowing that there's 162 regular season
Yeah,
games?
I'm gonna really
That's
listen to
always
that one.
intimidating to me.
Yeah. Well, I would say number one, don't feel like you have to watch every game. Okay. Don't do that to yourself unless you really, really want to. Also, it's kind of hard to do because they play a lot of day games. So, unless you're going to like play hooky from work, it's just not going to work out for you. So, I would say number one, you can commit without like having to fully commit. You can join the bandwagon later, see where they're at in the season, like many people are doing. There is always room on the band barge. It's not just a wagon, like it's huge, it's a barge. But then also, I would say like just pick a player that you love to watch. 'Cause I go back to what I said about my partner kind of giving Barger the gears. And now he's like my boy Barger. You know what I mean? Like you don't always have to pick the one that's like going for gold all the time. And the other thing I would say is just like just enjoy it. Because what I love about baseball is that it's one of those really accessible sports. I think back to when the Raptors won the championship in 2019. Basketball is like a sport that's easy to get into. It doesn't cost a ton of money. You can play a pickup game even. And it's the same with baseball. Like if you travel around the world and you go to say, like, I remember when I was in Nicaragua once and I was like in the middle of nowhere on this beach and they played a pickup game of baseball. And that's what I love about it too. It's accessible if you want to try it. Like my partner and I go play catch at the local park all the
Oh,
time.
I'm
And
so jealous. I love catch.
it's fun. It's so fun. So like even if you're just like kind of a fair weather fan of the Jays, embrace it. Go grab a glove from like a used sports store locally and just like throw around a ball and just enjoy that it's like a game that we can all love. And when it gets high stakes, it's exciting.
When I'll play catch with you.
Okay,
Okay.
thanks. Well, I'll
Nice.
go play catch with Caden.
Let's
And
play catch together.
Yeah,
Oh
let's go play catch, you
my
guys.
God, I'll come play catch.
We're at the beginnings of a team, really, here. Like,
Oh
we
my
need to get a team going.
gosh. Inching towards it.
All right.
Yes. The Blue Jay ladies.
The Blue
Oh,
Jay
wow.
Ladies. How about this? If the Jays win the World Series, we have to start a team.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Okay. Called the
Count
Bits
me in.
Jays?
Count
The
me in.
Bits
I don't know
Jays.
where we're going to
The
play, but
BJs.
the BJs, but the B stands for Bits.
the BJs. Yeah. Just,
Tara,
yeah.
thank you so much for hanging out with us. Yeah, like I said, your energy and passion for the Jays is so infectious. I can't wait for game two, and I'll be looking out for all of these little storylines. It does make it really interesting.
Yeah,
I
it's
can't
going
wait
to be
for
so fun. I'm wearing my Gausman splitter jersey that I got at a game in 2023. He
amazing.
famously throws a splitter, so watch for it. He's going to be pitching for game two. He's going to be our starter.
What's a splitter?
Okay, so a splitter is basically, it's crazy. I couldn't throw this if I tried. You'll
No.
see, like, if you even look it up on the internet, it's where they split their fingers around the ball, essentially. I don't know, like, the physics of it. I don't get it, but it's
Okay.
this crazy pitch. Otani loves to hit them, so it sometimes is a little dicey about how it's going to go. But Treya Savage, who just started the game two, like game one, he also throws a splitter and he got Otani out in the first at bat. So we'll
Amazing.
see. Fingers
Yeah.
crossed.
All right, go Jays. Never go New York Yankees. Those are the big messages, I think, in my
Yeah.
opinion.
We'll
Oh,
see you
and
on another time.
if you want to cheer, the cheer that they sing in the Sky Dome is okay, Blue Jays, let's play ball.
Okay.
Woo!
The perfect ending.
And we ended on that. We will see you on another time.
See you on another time.